Well, we have some visitors here this morning, and welcome to you. We've been going through a series on the book of Acts, and so now we're up to Acts chapter 3 and 4, and the title of my message is up there. It's called Courage for Christ, and we need, I believe, as people that know Jesus as Saviour, in the day and the hour that we live in, we need to be people that exhibit courage for the Lord Jesus. In today's world, Christianity is under attack from many angles. I talked to a young man from Korea, and he was saying that in North Korea, if you're caught with a Bible, it's the death penalty. In an article on the internet last year, 2021, a Christian radio station wrote this: North Korea has been number one on the world watch list, according to Open Doors, for the worst place for Christian persecution in the world, and has been for 20 years. The radio station says this, that 50,000 plus Christians are now, they indicate that 50,000 plus Christians are now in North Korean prison camps. In an article this year, 2022, the same radio station, CHVN Radio, says this: according to the World Watch List report, last year Nigeria had the highest numbers of Christians killed between October the 1st, 2020, to September the 30th, 2021. Last year, 4,650 Christians were murdered in Nigeria alone. The number of kidnapped Christians was also highest in Nigeria at more than 2,500, up from 990 the previous year. As of 2022, Nigeria is the seventh hardest country in the world to live as a believer in Jesus Christ. In Australia, we may not yet face physical opposition like our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, but I believe that there's going to be increased opposition, and there is now increased opposition happening to Christians and our Christian values and our churches in Australian society today. The Australian Christian Schools released a press statement last year in relation to the Victorian government's announcement of proposed changes to the Equal Opportunity Act of 2010. And the Australian Christian Schools state this: under the proposed changes, religious organisations and schools will only be able to employ people of faith where the government decides that religious beliefs are critical to the job. For our schools to effectively fulfil their mission and ethos, it is crucial that all staff employed share the values and beliefs of the school. The lack of understanding, tolerance, and respect shown by the Victorian government to our Christian beliefs and schools is astounding. This blatant attack on the ability of Christian schools to employ people of faith is designed to make religious freedom a second-class right in Victorian society. Well, not only the Victorian government is coming against Christian schools, but also the West Australian government recently has come against Christian schools. On August the 30th, 2022, the Australian Christian Lobby released a statement on their website which says this: new attack on Christian schools in WA. The WA Attorney General, John Quigley, tabled the Law Reform Commission's report on its review of the Equal Opportunity Act in the State Parliament on the 16th of August. The report does not augur well for Christian schools nor for religious bodies. Some provisions are clearly targeted at forcing faith-based schools and religious bodies to at least partly embrace the LGBTQ+ view of the world. For Christian schools, the biggest concern is Recommendation 79, which will have the effect of removing the current right of faith-based schools to give preference to staff applicants who share the faith and worldview of the school. If the McGowan government widens the definition of educational institution, as recommended in paragraph 57, to include curriculum providers, those who write curriculum could potentially fall foul of the law if they discriminate by not teaching the LGBTQ agenda. It's looking very much in Australia like the state wants to have complete control of what every single child is being taught in Australia, rather than the parents and rather than Christian schools that children are sent to. There is now an agenda which is designed to attack faith-based schools in Australia, which is a part of a larger agenda to attack the Christian faith here in our country and to undermine long-held biblical freedoms that we've had in Australia. It's a pity that our state governments will not look at what God says in his word about educating children. The Lord Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." God gave his people Israel quite very excellent instructions on how they were to raise their children. And in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, we read this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The success of the nation of Israel depended on three things. Firstly, on their love for God. Secondly, on their obedience to God. And thirdly, on the education of their children in the ways of the Lord. That was going to bring a successful nation. And if our nation took notice of that, if our government took notice of that, if people in our land had a love for God, obedience to God's word, and if we educated our children in the ways of the Lord, the nation of Australia would be far different today. Today, like never before, we are going to need courage to stand for the Lord Jesus. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Today, if you're a godly disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect persecution. And right now, here in Australia, laws are continuing to be drawn up, which will result ultimately in the persecution of Australian Christians. Now, if you study the history of the church, you'll find in the book of Acts that persecution happened almost immediately after the early church began. Soon after Pentecost, believers in the Lord Jesus were persecuted for their faith. And as I read this morning from Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John went up to the temple in Acts chapter 3, they met a man that was crippled. I'll draw your attention to verse 1 there. "Now when Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms." So he was begging. He wanted money. He wanted help. "To ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them." This man in Acts chapter 3 wanted arms, but he got legs instead. He was healed. Verse 6 there. "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The crippled man wanted a handout, but he got a hand up instead. He received miraculous healing through the apostles and the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3 verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So the lame man here gives glory to God because of his healing. And I wonder, if you're a Christian this morning, have you given glory to God because of your healing? It may not be physical healing, but if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, all of us have received spiritual healing. All of us need to give glory to the Lord. The hymn writer said this, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea." If you're a Christian, you've experienced the spiritual healing that only Jesus brings. Because of our sin, in our unsaved state, we could not walk right with God. But when a person becomes a Christian, they receive the healing of their souls, and we begin to walk right with God as he leads us. We realize that Jesus is our Saviour, and he has purchased us by the death, by his death on the cross for our sins, and we can rise to new life when we've accepted Jesus as Saviour. We can rise because of his power as the Holy Spirit indwells each of us and we respond to his word. Verse 11 there, the healing of the lame man, as you see in verse 11, gave Peter the opportunity to preach to the people. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Then down in verse 36, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." In Acts chapter 3, the apostle Peter there, he gives the bad news first, and then he gives the good news. The bad news for the Jews that he spoke to on that day was that they had denied the Lord Jesus and they had killed the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Life. The good news he gave them was that if they repented, that their sins could be blotted out. Now, one writer gave a definition of repentance, and they said this: "The word repentance in the Bible literally means the act of changing one's mind." So to repent, as far as salvation is concerned, it is to change your mind. The Jews had to change their mind about Jesus. The Jews had to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah and that Jesus was the Redeemer. I wonder, have you ever repented in your life? Plenty of people know about Jesus historically. I would say most people in Australia have heard the name of the Lord Jesus. Numbers of people in Australia know that Jesus is a historical figure. Unfortunately, you talk to Australian kids today about Christmas, and numbers of those kids have no connection at all to Jesus. They don't know that Jesus has anything to do with Christmas. It's all Santa Claus and Rudolph and all the Christmas decorations, and they have no idea, and that's so sad for kids in Australia. But what the Jews had to know is that they had to change their mind about the one that they crucified. They had to change their mind and recognise that he was the Messiah and the Redeemer. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 4, after the miracle, in Acts chapter 3, Peter's preaching brought persecution. And in the face of Peter's persecution, I want you to know that Peter and the disciples displayed great courage. And perhaps this year, maybe in the years to come, we as believers, even here in the Baptist Church in Newcastle, are going to need to display great courage the way our government is going and the way our world is going. Every Christian needs courage to stand for the Lord Jesus. And that word boldness in Acts chapter 4 is repeated a number of times. In the face of opposition, Peter and the disciples of Christ displayed great boldness. Now, I want you to write down three things about boldness. We, as God's people, need to have boldness. And you'll see in Acts chapter 4, there were three things about the boldness that the Christians had. Their boldness was visible. Their boldness was vital. And their boldness was vocal. They had visible boldness before the Jews. They had vital boldness before the Jews. And they had vocal boldness before the Jews. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and you'll see the boldness of Peter and John, and you'll see that the boldness was visible. Verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees denied the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's why they're called Sadducee. Maybe. Probably not. But they preached the resurrection. They were disturbed that the disciples had preached the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness, it was visible boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled and they realised that they had been with Jesus. So the boldness of Peter and John was visible in their society. And there is a need today for Christians to have visible boldness in the society that we live in. Wouldn't it be great if some of the Australian politicians that claim that they are Christians, wouldn't it be great if they stood up in Parliament and had visible boldness for Christ? Wouldn't it be great when they're interviewed by secular press that just some of these Christians in Parliament would stand and proclaim Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be great if they proclaimed that Australia needs Jesus in the many opportunities that they get in their interviews? The boldness in Peter and John was visible, and we need boldness today that is visible. Jesus has gone to heaven, but he sent his invisible presence of the Holy Spirit into the lives of every Christian. And by the power of the invisible presence of the Holy Spirit, the church is to be the visible presence of Jesus on earth. As God's invisible power works within us, we should demonstrate visible courage in the face of opposition. The world can't see Jesus. Jesus is in heaven now. But the world can see what Jesus is like through his people who are meant to be salt and light. One day, the world is going to see Jesus. But at the present time, the world sees Jesus, his characteristics, through the church today. Won't it be a great day when in Revelation 1 verse 7 it says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." What a day that will be when the whole world sees the Lord Jesus. They see his pierced hands, and they see Jesus coming in all his glory and all his power. Jesus is seen now through us as believers in the Lord Jesus. I believe that Christians will demonstrate the power of God and the boldness for God when they spend time with Jesus on a regular basis. One person wrote, "He who kneels before God can stand before man." Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Verse 13 again. "Now when they saw the boldness," the Greek word is parousia, S-E-E-R. Their boldness was visible. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled and they realised that they had been with Jesus." Here's Peter and John, they're uneducated, but they demonstrated the power of God and the boldness of God before the Jews because these men had been with the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you've ever studied the missionary journeys of Gladys Allward. It's great to study different missionaries and to see their courage in the face of opposition. And Gladys Allward was a lady that lived in the early 1900s, and she was a parlourmaid in London, in England. And she dreamed of one day of becoming an actress. But she read an article about the millions of Chinese that had never heard the gospel. And she believed that it was God's call for her to go to China in the early 1900s. She went to a missionary school, but she failed the course. She applied to a missionary board, but they turned her down, telling her that she was not smart enough to learn Chinese. In 1932, she sets off to travel completely alone to go to China. She travels through Russia and Siberia and through war zones occupied by the Japanese. Her story is a story of trials and tribulations. In China, because she's a believer in the Lord Jesus, she's ushered into a man's prison to stop a riot. And through the power that she displayed then, she opened the doors for prison reform. She looked after orphans. The Japanese invaded and put a price on her head. She was wounded in a conflict, and yet she led over 100 orphans to safety over the mountains. Gladys said this, "My heart is full of praise that one so insignificant, uneducated and ordinary in every way could be used to his glory and for the blessing of his people in poor, persecuted China." The uneducated Gladys Allward demonstrated both the power of God and the boldness of God living in her life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." In Acts chapter 4 verse 13, the boldness of Peter and John was visible. In Acts chapter 4 verse 29, God's people, the church, knew that boldness was vital. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord." Verse 29. "Now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When God's people were threatened in the book of Acts there, God's people prayed. And they prayed that God's servants would speak with boldness. And the church needs to realise today that God's people have a history of boldness. The early church prayed for boldness in the face of threats, that they might speak God's word and that God might stretch out his hand in miraculous ways. I believe that the only hope for Newcastle and this nation is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that this society is in desperate need of healing. Our country is plagued with broken hearts and broken lives and broken families and broken people. Our schools are broken, our universities are broken, our hospitals are broken, and our governments are broken. And we need to take heed of what God says in his word in the Old Testament. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Every election, people's hopes get up in either party, either major party. They're hoping that the major party will fix things. I can tell you, not any party is going to fix things in the nation of Australia. It's only God who will fix things. And it's only as we come to him as a broken people, acknowledging that only God can give us victory in this nation. Real hope in a broken world happens when we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed. There's boldness. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is only Jesus can bring healing to this nation. And true healing comes when people understand the truth of the gospel. Paul knew the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel, and he proclaimed the gospel with boldness, and so should you and I. We are called to be both salt and light in this sick world that we live in. And salt permeates and light illuminates, and sometimes salt has to sting to bring healing to the wound. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the boldness of Peter and John was visible. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, God's people, the church, knew that boldness was vital. In Acts 4, verse 31, God's people were vocal. They spoke the word with boldness. Look at verse 31. And when they'd prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Remember the boldness of Pastor Joe Wright. Pastor Joe Wright prayed a prayer before the government in Kansas, and he prayed this prayer in 1996. And Pastor Wright went home to his office, and the phone was just going crazy after he prayed before the Kansas government. And this is what Pastor Wright prayed. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe on those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbour's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honoured values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them their wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the centre of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great prayer before Parliament. What a bold pastor in that day. That prayer went right round the earth after he prayed that prayer. The Church of Jesus Christ must continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." The church must take the gospel to this city, and this church must have a part in taking the gospel to the world, and we must do it with boldness, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is only the name of Jesus that brings salvation. The only hope for this broken world is Jesus. The boldness of Peter and John was visible. God's people, the church, knew that their boldness was vital. And God's people were vocal. They spoke the word of God with boldness. George Duffield wrote this hymn in the 1800s, and he said, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. The day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To those who vanquish evil, a crown of life shall be. They with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Father, we thank you this morning as we look at the book of Acts, of the boldness that we have seen of Peter and John. We thank you that God's people knew that their boldness was vital. And we thank you, Father, that their boldness was vocal. Lord, help us to be people that are bold for the faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.